Here's what happened. Now I soon decided that it's
fairs and exhibitions happening all around the province. It's the kickoff to the Saskatoon X today. Also, by the way, the start of the Fringe Festival in Saskatoon. Day two of the Queen City X. The Recklaws take the grandstand tonight. Of course, a day closer to the Saskatchewan Day long weekend. And we've got a great show planned for you today. Evan Bray, great to have you here Thursday morning with lots going on. Open lines. I'm curious to know your take on the calm and patient approach that Canada's taking on the tariff situation. By the way, what about this? Canada joining other countries in a planned recognition of a Palestinian state this fall, as long as certain conditions are met. Those conditions are never going to happen. You know that. They want Palestine to run an election without Hamas being able to form government. This has been tried before. It's not going to succeed. So are we achieving anything by Canada making this announcement that we will, at the UN Assembly this fall, formally recognize Palestine as a state if these conditions are met? I mean, the whole issue of getting aid into Gaza is a separate issue and it needs to happen. There's no doubt about that. I think the world is seeing that it needs to happen, and Israel probably losing some of the support that it's had because of the fact that it is very much pinching off the aid relief or limiting the amount of relief getting in there. So I'm looking forward to opening the lines to hear about that. What about going on? What's going on in the city of Regina? They've now agreed to a pool. That happened at council yesterday. They fired their city manager. We've got city councillor Clark Bezo, Ward 10 councillor, joining us in studio today at 10 o'clock to help us understand the discussion on the pool. The decision they reached there should be a good conversation. Pretty significant deal struck at the Midwestern Legislative Conference in Saskatoon this week between a Canadian and a U.S. company. We're going to hear from leaders in each company and what the deal was and what it means for Saskatchewan. And at 11 o'clock, I'm looking forward to this. Do you like camping? That's question number one. Do you like camping? And I'm going to say, absolutely, I'd love it. Are you a camper or a glamper is the bigger question. I am firmly a glamper. I do not like sleeping in a tent. I do not like waking up sore and stiff and feeling terrible for the next day. It's all about the good sleep and a few of the amenities from home. Some people poo-poo that thought. 11 o'clock, we open up the phone lines. I want you to paint the picture. Take us on a tour of your campsite, and we can draw the conclusion if you're a camper or a glamper. That's coming up at 11 o'clock. Okay, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, boy, it's been a busy week in Ottawa. Lots going on, of course, working to strike a deal with Washington across the border. We've heard that we don't want to strike the wrong deal or strike a deal too soon, but tariffs seem to be a certain part of our future, one way or the other. Is it going to be 35%? Is it going to be this standard 15% that everybody else seems to be getting? There's lots of news happening there, and this is a great time to bring in our friend Kelly Malone. She is the Washington correspondent for the Canadian Press. Kelly's been on our program many times, and once again, Kelly joins us by phone. Kelly, thanks for taking the call.
For calling me.
Yeah, before we even get into it, how was your recent trip to Saskatchewan? Saskatchewan's home for you. Your whole family, your every connection in your world is here in Saskatchewan. How was it to come home?
It was so good. I had enough time that I got to go to the lake. I also got to eat amazing food in Saskatoon. And I went to so many children's sports competitions in Regina because it seemed like the week I was there, all my nieces and nephews were all competing in different sports.
Well, I'm glad you made use of your time home. We find you now back in Washington. So maybe let's start off with just what the vibe is in D.C. this morning. We're one day before this trade deadline of August 1st. What's the vibe?
I think that there's just a lot of concern. There's so much unknown. And while we have seen kind of a slew of announcements over the last few days about other trade deals, and obviously the EU, a big deal for Trump to get at this time. It was very important for him and being able to sell that this tariff strategy is working. So that was important for him. And, you know, you had South Korea kind of announced yesterday. But a lot of these deals are announced, but we don't have the paperwork. We don't know what's actually in it. We don't know what's actually happening. It's a strange place to be at. You even see the Vietnamese deal and the Philippines deal and some of those where the countries have come back and said, you know, what was announced is not actually what we agreed to. So there are a lot of announcements happening, but the details remain very thin.
Right.
And, you know, this is, I think the number I counted this morning was like 11 of the U.S.'s top 15 trading partners, but the ones that are left are the U.S.'s top trading partners, which is China, Canada, and Mexico,
right,
which don't have any kind of deal, and, you know, are staring at, for Canada and Mexico, a different tariff rate tomorrow.
So is there a sense, I know Dominic LeBlanc, for example, the Minister of Intergovernmental Affairs for Canada, is in Washington. Are we anticipating something transpiring before tomorrow, or is that a bit of a pipe dream?
He's been very quiet here this week. So last week when he was here, we did meet up and, you know, talked to him and asked him some questions. You know, he told us who he was meeting. It was, you know, Republican senators. He also met with Howard Lutnick, obviously a key person in these negotiations. But this week while he's here, we haven't even heard who he's meeting. He has made no time thus far to meet up with Canadian media to give us a sense of who he's even talking to while he's here this week. I did have, you know, messages with his office earlier this week saying, you know, should I stick in this around this weekend in the city, or can I go out and go hiking? And they said it's too early to say anything about what's going to happen, which I'm staying in the city. So, you know, I don't expect a whole lot of change to happen in the next 24 hours. I think both Canadian and American officials have really kind of made it clear that it seems unlikely something will materialize.
Mm-hmm. Kelly Malone is our guest, Washington correspondent for the Canadian Press. Is there a sense, you alluded earlier about, you know, President Trump selling his tariff policy, is there a sense that the tariffs are having, I was going to say, a positive impact in the United States, let's just say an impact in the United States, or is it need to be a longer wait yet to see the impact?
Well, you're starting to see some interesting changes in data. So obviously they are bringing in a lot of money. It's billions of dollars. It's the highest tariff rate they've had in, you know, I want to say since the 70s for the United States. So that is money that is coming into the federal coffers. That is what Trump is on social media being extremely happy about. What you are seeing is in the data that's coming out now, while it hasn't been the immediate impact that a lot of economists had said, you are starting to see real signs of trouble. So, you know, you had GM last week say that they had not been passing down the tariffs to consumers, but they had a 35% decline in their profits. And that was related to tariffs, and they expected it to be worse. Yesterday, Procter & Gamble, which, you know, makes some of the main products here, soap, all that kind of stuff, they announced they have to start increasing prices because they've been trying to kind of bear the burden, hoping that these tariffs would go away, but they're not. And I think that's what you're seeing is a lot of these companies had maybe not completely put down the tariff cost onto consumers, hoping that something would be arranged, that there'd be all these trade deals that would actually result in no tariff. And that's just not what's happening. So a lot of these companies are now actually putting the burden down. Other data that you're seeing is, you know, while there hasn't been massive job losses, there's been a complete freezing in hiring, in investment in factories, in those kind of things, which is starting to show warning signs that there's enough uncertainty in industry about what environment they're getting into, what they're going to have to pay for input costs like steel and aluminum, that they're just not making any investments in their businesses right now.
Kelly Malone from the Canadian Press. So I know you're following this federal appeals court hearing about whether or not Trump tariffs are actually legal. What do you think is, I guess, the possible outcome of this? And by that, I mean, not just the finding of the court, but will it be followed?
This is so interesting. I actually left the hearing to talk to you. So this morning, what it really comes down to is that Trump used the International Economic Emergency Powers Act of 1977 to impose these kind of global tariffs. So it's the ones from Liberation Day and then the fentanyl tariffs on Canada and Mexico and China. And this had never been used by a president before to enact tariffs. And in fact, this national security statute doesn't even have the word tariffs in it. And what it means is that the president has to declare an emergency and then he can control imports. So presidents had used it for things like sanctions, but never for tariffs. And so in May, the International Court of Trade ruled that, you know, it went beyond the president's authority to use this statute for tariffs because Congress is who's supposed to hold the purse strings. They're supposed to be the ones that do tariffs. Trump's team and his administration obviously immediately appealed that. And now today's hearing is the Federal Appeals Court. Before I stepped out to talk with you, the judges were really pushing back on Trump's lawyers, saying exactly that the statute doesn't include tariffs, that Congress is supposed to be in charge of this, in charge of tariffs, and that there are other measures like Section 232, which you probably heard a lot about, which the president can use to put in tariffs, but those require investigations or there's limits on the level of tariffs. So in what I've heard in, you know, the hour or so the hearing has happened this morning, it does seem like the judges are pushing pretty hard on the Trump administration's arguments for why Trump can use this statute. So if the appeals court does rule in favor of the states and the businesses that have brought forward this case, Trump's administration has said they'd bring it to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court has been ruling a little bit limited in how it is reining in presidential power. So it has pushed back on Trump a bit, but has done it like very minimally, even in some shocking cases, like the birthright case. And so if this ends up in front of the Supreme Court, I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know what that ruling would be. I think there's a really good chance it will go in front of the Supreme Court. And ultimately, Trump has said that he would respect the Supreme Court's ruling. If he doesn't, you know, legal scholars here say that would result in a constitutional crisis.
We've got lots to follow there. I, like you, would not be shocked to see this in front of the Supreme Court. And even then, I don't think we can predict what's going to happen. Kelly Malone with the Canadian Press. We're short on time, but I've still got a few things I was going to ask. Maybe let's go here next quickly. Canada announced yesterday it will recognize a Palestinian state as long as certain conditions are met. Doesn't appear that's going over well with President Trump.
Oh, no. And that was a lovely Truth Social to wake up to this morning because I was asleep when he put it out. And so, you know, he pretty much came out and said that Canada taking that action would make it really hard for Canada to get a deal. It's interesting because obviously he was just in Scotland and Keir Starmer announced the same thing. And Trump, in response to that, was like, well, I don't know, but Starmer's a good guy. And you had France do the same thing. And Trump didn't come out and say, we're stopping the EU deal because of what Macron is doing. It does seem like he wants a bit of any reason to complain about Canada. So whether or not this is a negotiating tactic for Trump or just another way that he wants to troll, it certainly isn't the same response he's giving other countries that have taken the same action.
Okay, last question. It's a big one with very little time left, Kelly, but President Trump has been quite successful in sidestepping the whole Epstein situation. How distracting is that in Washington? And have we seen the light of day in this case yet, or is there more to be written?
Epstein is so interesting. I could talk forever, but I know you're running out of time. But it is dividing the MAGA base. And, you know, political observers have said, like, MAGA is so deeply devoted to Trump in ways that most parties have not seen before. And this is an issue that is actually tearing the MAGA base apart in that they want to support Trump, but they fundamentally believe in releasing these files. And so Trump has sidestepped so many other scandals, but in this capacity, it just keeps following him. And I'm interested to see what can break this cycle. He's certainly thrown a lot of things out there to try and do it. He's released other files like Martin Luther King Jr. He obviously keeps saying Russiagate, Russiagate, Russiagate. He's releasing as many files about anything but Epstein as he can. He even said he wanted the Washington football team to change back to its old name. All of these are obviously to try and get people to stop talking about Epstein. But, you know, every day he gets questions, it's about Epstein. And every truth social he puts out, a lot of the comments are release the files.
Kelly, this has been a good chat. We appreciate you checking in with us. We'll touch base again soon.
Thank you so much, as always.
Kelly Malone, Washington correspondent for the Canadian Press, as we get set to go into open phones coming up after 9 here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Well, it looks as though people are chomping at the bit to get to open lines this morning, which I like, whether it's Canada's recent announcement that they made yesterday that Canada will, at the UN Assembly this fall, recognize Palestine as a state as long as a number of conditions are met. And we look at the conditions. We'll talk about them after 9. They're not going to be met. There's no way. There's no way that Hamas is going to allow itself to be excluded from an election, let alone release the hostages. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things there that, to me, prove that those conditions won't be met, which really nullifies the statement that Canada would support Palestine as a state. But I'm happy to know, happy to hear your thoughts as to whether that was a good idea or not. That plus a whole lot more recent decisions by Regina City Council and a whole lot more. Open lines, text or phone for you next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.